You're handing down something to those who are close to you. It may be family members. It may be people that you work with, close associates, close friends. But everyone will leave a legacy. But what is the legacy that you will be leaving? Is it just going to be a wealth and riches? Nothing wrong with that, leaving that for your children. But you know what? It should be more than just money. It should be more than just things. What is the legacy that you're going to leave for your family, for those who are closest to you? Maybe it'll be a life well lived. I hope that that will be your legacy. That we leave a legacy, especially for our family, of how to live a life that's pleasing to God, how to face and win the battles of life. What are we leaving as a legacy? And so I want to share some things from God's Word this morning that I think will help us in understanding what it takes and what I believe would be to leave a godly legacy and an eternal legacy especially to our family, to our children, to our ancestors. The Bible says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." That's what we're going to talk about. And the first thing, if we're going to live a life that's going to leave a legacy, I believe the first thing is that we have to live a life. And by living that life, we live for something, and we demonstrate to our children that we are to live for something that's greater than our own self-gratification. We live in a consumer generation, especially in our nation, where everything is about getting the latest thing, the latest technology, you know, the newest car, the biggest house, the latest styles, the latest fads. Who can, you know, it's almost like that we're living life this way. Who can, at the end of the life, who can die with the most toys? He who dies with the most toys wins. That seems to be the legacy of our generation to a large part. That all we understand and think about, it has to do with material things. But you know, material things and the self-gratification of consumerism is no legacy that we want to leave. I do not want to leave a legacy that my children or those who were closest to me look at my life and say, you know what? He lived for himself. That's all he did. He was only concerned about his own needs, about his own comfort, about his own ease. That's how he spent his time. That's how he spent his money. That's how he spent his talents and his ability. Was all about himself. Turn over, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. The Bible talking about Jesus here. It says in verse 3. He said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." What a legacy. What a legacy. When I leave this life, I want those who live on after me to remember something about me that was more than, you know, boy, Dad had a sharp car. Boy, I'm telling you what, he was a sharp dresser, wasn't he? I want more than that. I want them to look at my life, and hopefully you want them to look at your life and say, you know what? He wasn't one to live his life just for himself. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Wow, what a legacy. This is the legacy of Jesus Christ we're reading right here. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Boy, that'll go over great today, wouldn't it? We want you to come join us where you can learn how to humble yourself and make yourself as nothing. Oh boy, that'll flock them in. Here will be your legacy. Your legacy will be that no one will really remember that you were some great person, but rather that you made yourself of no reputation in order that you might serve. Listen, I got news for you. Unless you make yourself of as nothing and no reputation, you will not serve. You're too busy about yourself. And let's be honest, anytime I get focused on myself, boy, I'm telling you, I got a lot to do. Yeah, how about you? Because I can see all the needs in my life. I can see all the wants in my life. I can see all the things I'd like to have. I'd like to be. But I want to tell you, as soon as I do like Jesus and I humble myself and I make myself as nothing of no reputation, at that point in time, then I can look not just on my interest, I can look on yours. I can serve my family, my wife, my husband. I can serve others in my community. I can serve someone else. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing. Think about it. Jesus made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. I know this is not popular today. We want to know how we can lift ourselves up. How we can be great. How we can be known. How we can be this. How we can be that. But he said he humbled himself. And he realized that he had a cross to take up. And it says he became obedient. Even when it meant taking up the cross. Jesus said, he said, if you're going to follow me, he said, you're going to have a cross to take up too. What's the purpose of a cross? That's where we die to ourselves. Are you listening? That's where we die to ourselves. You know, when it became apparent that Jesus was going to take up his cross, literally, everyone left him. A cross is not popular. Especially when we tell you, you're going to have to die on it. It's not popular. Our egocentric driven generation does not like to hear that I'm going to have to sacrifice, that it's going to cost me something. I mean, now if you tell me how it's going to make my life better and good and blessed all the time, and it won't cost me anything, and I won't have to do anything, and I'll never have to deny myself, and I won't have to serve anybody else, and I won't have to take up any kind of a cross, and I won't have to do that, then I might be interested. Well, I got news for you. That's some other gospel. Listen. We have to realize that an investment in the lives of others is more important than an investment in our life, our career, or our business. Hello? Listen, if you don't, you know, why would I give my time for you? I mean, after all, I'm important. My life is valuable. My time is valuable. I mean, how many times have we heard that statement? Listen, my time is valuable. You know, as if nobody else's is. Well, you know, my life might not be as wonderful and great and bright and all that as yours is, but it's just as valuable to me. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. We've got to come to a place where we're talking about leaving a legacy. And the legacy is going to be what I invest in other people's lives. And listen, you're investing something. You're saying something loud and clear to your family, to your loved ones, to your friends, to people around you. You're saying something. You're investing something. Remember when Jesus gave the parable of the ones with the talents, where God gave one 3 and 1-5, 1-2 and 1-1. Remember that? And the others, what? They were willing to risk something. Investment means risk, doesn't it? Sure. You can't invest without there being some risk. If there's no risk, we really couldn't call that much of an investment. And of course, we know, you know, the higher the risk, the greater the return. Isn't that right? In the natural? The lower the risk, the less the return. Isn't that true? The same thing's true in relationships. The same thing true in leaving a legacy. If I don't risk anything, if I don't open myself up, if I'm not willing to take of my life and my time and what God's put in me and invested in you, then listen, I'm not going to get much return. I have people all the time tell me, I just don't have any friends. Well, I know right away how you're living your life. Hello? The Bible says, if you want friends, show yourself to be one. In other words, and you want something back, invest something. Invest something. You know, if you haven't invested in the stock market, don't be looking for your dividend check. Wouldn't that be foolish? We see you going out to the mailbox every week. What are you looking for? Well, I can't understand it. Why I'm not getting that big check, you know, from Wall Street. Oh, really? Well, what did you invest in? Nothing yet. I thought if they'd send me some money, then I'd invest in it. But sometimes that's the way we're living our life. Well, I'm not going to reach out. I'm not going to open myself up. I'm not going to invest in other people. What if I get hurt? What if they reject me? What if this happens or that happens? Listen, if you want to return and leave a legacy, then you're going to have to invest in something. Listen, we have to be determined that being an influencer for good and God is more important than living a self-absorbed life. Most people are so wrapped up in their own life, in their own stuff. They have absolutely no time, no energy, no emotional currency left to invest in anybody else. My God, don't come to me with your problem. I'm about to go under myself. Why? Because all we think about is ourselves and our problems and all this stuff. And I found out that a whole heap of probably 98% of all those things we call problems are really not worth the mental and the emotional currency that we expend on them. So we have to live for something greater than self-gratification. It's the first thing if we're going to live and leave a legacy. And then here's the thing I'd say. If we're going to leave a legacy, we're going to have to live with a view. Now, Cindy has been looking around for places for us to go on our annual family vacation. And she'll look and research and she'll say, look at this, look at that and everything. And one thing I've noticed about the different properties that you look at, that when you find one that has a view, it costs more. Man, as soon as they say, ocean view, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, cha-ching. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. I want to talk about if we're going to leave a legacy, we got to be living with a view. We're living with a view. And every one of us are living with some kind of view of life. And most people, it's unfortunately, their view is more on the temporal, it's more on the natural and the here and now than it is on a view for the future. Let me ask you this. In living with a view, is it all about right now? Is that all it's about? In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes something. You ought to turn over there. I'm going to read it, but it'd be good for you to turn over there too. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15, 19. Notice what he says here. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. We're talking about living with a view if we're going to leave a legacy. Is it all about right now? Is that all we're living for? Man, got to get that house. Got to get that second house. Got to get this. Got to get that. You know, now I know I got this phone and it works fine, but you know they got a new phone. And it'll do this, and mine won't do that, and I need that. I can't live without it. I've got to do it. See, we're in a danger, and we are a generation in danger of sacrificing the eternal at the altar of the temporal, the immediate. See, we're not living with the right view. Our view, you know, God told Abraham, when Abraham first came into the promised land, God came to Abraham after he'd been there a while. He said, Abram, lift up your head. In other words, Abram, you've got to get a different view. You're looking down around you. You're looking at your feet. You're looking here. He said, you've got to lift up your head. You've got to have a different view. You've got to get an eternal view. Abraham, you've got to get faith in gear so that you can see the invisible. You can see eternity. You can see the future I have for you. It says that Abraham got lifted up his head, and as soon as he did, you know what he began to do? He began to walk up and down the promised land God gave him. Man, he's walking up and down. He said, wow, I've never seen that before. Boy, that's good. That's good. I've never seen that before. Look at that. Man, look at this. Look at that. And you know what? If we would begin to live with a proper view, life would take on a whole different attitude and meaning. You know, when we look at our feet, basically all we're doing, we're looking at the dirt around us. You know what we're doing? We're self-absorbed. Oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. And oh, God, I've turned 40 and I'm not a millionaire yet. And I don't have this and I don't have that. And oh, my goodness, I'm 28 and I'm not married. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I mean, whatever it is. And he said, you need to live. If you're going to leave a legacy, he said, you got to live life with a view. With a proper view. Lift up your head. Get faith. Get your faith connected to the promise and the purpose of God that is eternal and not just temporary. Because isn't that what Jesus was saying in different words? He said, if you'll seek the eternal, the temporary will take care of itself. Let's don't sacrifice the eternal, that plan and purpose of God, for the immediacy. The immediacy. So many people are wanting to, you know, all they can think of is how can I get out of my present pain, my present circumstance. Oh, you know, and my God, they can't even sleep because day and night, the little wheels are turning. Oh, I've got to figure it out. Oh, I don't have everything I want yet. I got news for you. If you keep living with that natural view, with that limited view, at the end of your days, when you go to be with Jesus, you're going to be saying that very same thing. I still don't have everything I wanted. Listen, we're more interested in paying the bills than paying the price. What's going to matter in eternity? You think when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, man, Abe, well done. You paid your power bill on time every time. Way to go. I don't think God's... Now, you ought to pay your bills. Don't misunderstand. But I don't think that's really what's at the top of God's list. I don't think that's... You know, when we stand before him, he's going to say, well, you paid your bills. But I want to tell you what, if you were willing to live with a view, that you would take times where you would cry out to God and pray not just about yourself, but pray over your family, pray for your neighbors, pray for the community you live in, cry out for others, cry out to God for them, give yourself to them. If you would be willing to pay the price, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to leave a legacy. You're going to leave a legacy. You know why? Because something eternal is released. When you begin to pray to God, when you begin to cry out to God, I want to tell you what, even after, if the Lord tarries and you go on to be with glory, your prayers will continue to work. Your prayers will continue to work in the community. They'll continue to work in your family members. They'll continue to work in the situations. You left a legacy. Not just that you paid your bills. We commend you for that. But I'm telling you, you were willing to pay the price. You are willing to seek first the kingdom of God. You are willing to lay down some of your precious time and say, God, I'm going to cry out for my family. I'm going to cry out for my husband and wife. I'm going to pray for my neighbors. I'm going to pray for my city. I'm going to pray for my coworkers. I'm going to do something. I'm going to live life with a view that's different. I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to connect with the eternal. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, we're talking about leaving a legacy, leaving a legacy. You know, again, in the world, when we talk about this, most people think about, oh, you're going to leave, you know, them millions of dollars, or you're going to leave them this big house, or this, or that, or the other. But what are we talking about? We're talking about a legacy that's much greater than financial. It's much greater than financial. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to understand that we are a chosen generation. That God has chosen. You know, you could have been born in any other generation. You could have been born in the Middle Ages. Amen. You could have been born 1,500 years ago. You could have been born in a different place, a different time. But God, in His plan, in His wisdom, His purpose, He's ordained for you and I to be alive now. And you think about it. When we look at past generations, and I love to read and study about church history, and I would encourage you to do that. We're woefully ignorant in many, many times of our own legacy in the church. Of the lives that men and women lived and laid down so that they left a legacy that you and I are enjoying today. Are you listening? They paid a price. And they left a legacy that you and I are enjoying today. Thank God we're not still laboring under the false idea and religious idea that somehow if we do enough good works and if we're good enough and if we beat ourselves up enough and beat ourselves down enough and do enough good works and who knows if we did do enough good works and I hope I make it that we're not living under that anymore, because a man by the name of Martin Luther saw a revelation and he was willing to stand up in his generation against all the religious thought of his day. He was the only one going contrary, saying, this is the truth, the just shall live by faith. Thank God. We take it for granted. But here's the thing. We are born in this generation for a time and a purpose. And you know what? When we look back at all those other people and we think how they influenced their generation and left a legacy, you know what? We have the opportunity to do the same. Are you listening to me? Amen. See, sometimes I think the reason we look at ourselves in such a diminutive and in such a small way is because we're living with the wrong view. Most Christians I know of, Pastor Lars, I couldn't live that. I'm not going to make any difference. Nobody's going to know whether I ever lived or died. Well, I can tell right away, you got the wrong view. You're living with a natural, limited, natural view. All you're thinking of is when I look and think about time and I think about I'm going to live 70, 80 years and that's all I'm going to live. Man, what am I? What is that? But when you think about investing that in the something that's eternal, you think about investing that in the kingdom of God. Living your life in such a way that you invest and you hand it down and you hand it down. And even if the Lord tarries generations from now, that what you left as a legacy is going to be affecting other people's lives. And we have a great opportunity. Because what? More people alive today than has lived and died since the beginning of recorded time. Look what an opportunity we have to reach people, to invest in people, and to make a difference. Think about the opportunities of the ways we have to make a difference in people's lives. Man, look at satellite, TV, internet, written page, telephone, telecommunications, all kinds of ways that we can take what we have and we can invest it in other people's lives. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Live with a view. You know what? I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have a room with a view. Amen. You know, you ever seen, I forget, it's one of those, you know, like hotel.com or one of those commercials, you know, where they're on their vacation, you know, and the couple's in the room, you know, and they're unpacking. They said, boy, it's going to be, and he was going to say great. And about that time, a jackhammer goes, and he gets ready to say something again about how great it's going to be. And they go, and then, there's another one where, you know, they go and they look out, you know, they got nice room and everything. And they open the curtains and step out on the balcony. And here's this panoramic view of a graveyard. Room with a view. You know, but here's the thing. You know what? That's kind of the way some Christians see their life. You know, we're trying to tell you, man, life's going to be great. God's got a plan, and all you're hearing is, because you're thinking about all your problems, all your cares, all your worries, you're self-absorbed. And all you can hear is the jackhammer of your own thoughts. And other people, you look out, and your view of life is it's all over. I've had it. There's no hope. I'm discouraged. I'm bad. Life's dealt me a bad hand. I'm going to go out and eat worms. I got a room with a view all right, and it's a graveyard. That's not the room I'm talking about. That's not the view we're talking about in God. Get it. Be like Abraham. Get a purpose. Get in this book. Get in your prayer closet. Get something from God. Man, I tell you, when I got saved, I'm telling you, I said, God, I'm going to do something. It's too good. I'm not just, it's got to be, if this book is what it says, if you are who this book says you are, if what this book says is true and I believe it is, then bless God. I'm telling you, life's too important to just make a buck. You know what? I'm reasonably intelligent. And Cindy's real smart. So between the two of us, if we were just after making a buck, we could make one. I said, we could make one. If that's all I was after was just the very nice things of life, so could you. But you know what? We decided that that wasn't the view we wanted. We had something bigger than that. We had something greater than that. And we wanted the view that God gave. And I would encourage you to do the same. Listen, 100 years from now, you're not going to care what kind of car you drove. Or, you know, where you had an Armani suit. Or Versace, or whatever the latest things are. Who cares? I don't even know what they are. I don't keep up with them, but whatever they are. Listen, nothing wrong with that as long as they don't own you. And then living with a view, and we also need to do this. We need to understand this. What kind of retirement are you working toward? Which retirement are you working toward? Boy, I'm telling you, with all the upheaval in our economy and everything, I'm telling you what, people are going bonkers. They are. And that's just the Christians. They're all worried about what they're going to do. I guess because I've always had to live my whole life by faith. I'm thinking no different with retirement. I'm just going to keep living the way I'm living. Amen. Maybe instead of retirement, you should think about refirement. Amen. You'll have time to retire and you get to heaven. Amen. Then you can kick back. What retirement are you working toward? We need to learn to what? Trust God to meet our needs. Jesus said this. He said, we need to what? He said, we need to what? Lay up treasures in heaven. Which retirement are you working toward? Some people are working harder toward this natural retirement than they are toward the eternal. I got news for you. Even if you retire at 55, and let's say you live to be 85. That's 30 years of retirement. What's that compared to eternity with your retirement? Some people are going to have 30 years of a wonderful retirement here, and they're going to be like paupers up there. Oh, now we're all going to have it made up there. Well, listen, why did the Bible talk about rewards? It'd be superfluous to talk about rewards if there's not going to be any distinction. Isn't that right? That's like, you know, if we were all billionaires, getting around and bragging about that we're billionaires. Whoop-de-doo, what's the big deal about that? You're a billionaire, I'm a billionaire. So what? I mean, you ain't gonna brag to me, I already know what it's like. Because here's the thing. If we think that it doesn't matter how we live, what we do with our life, how we invest it, or anything else, that's not going to make one big difference in eternity, you are sadly mistaken. See, we get that mixed up with salvation. See, some people are just wanting to get in. Oh, if I can just make it in. Well, we know what retirement you're working for. Whereas you'll work and you're save and you're plan and you got all that out, you know, working for this retirement. But here's the thing. You take your eternal retirement, as it were, for granted. There's a term. I'm going to close here in just a moment. There's a term here. I want to give it to you. It's both an economic and a production term, but it really can apply here, and it's called value added. Value added. And I'm going to read you one definition. There are several. Value added refers to the additional value of a commodity over the cost of commodities used to produce it from the previous stage of production. For example, the price of gasoline at the pump over the price of the oil in it. You ever looked at the price of a barrel of oil, especially when it was way down there low, and you thought, my goodness, why are they charging us $3.50 and $4 at the pump, and it's costing them $28 a barrel? Value added. Because it went through a process, and by going through that process, it became more valuable. Value added. Now, which retirement are you working toward? And is the life you're laying up in heaven, is it going to have any value added to it? You know what that means? That this natural, seemingly ordinary, mundane life that we're living now can actually become an investment, and we can make it to be a value added life for eternity. So that this life, which did not seem in the light of that as valuable because we invested it, because we lived it for the eternal, because we left a legacy, because we invested in people in the eternal, we will have a great reward which far exceeds what we invested here. Value added living. Read two more scriptures. And then we're going to pray. 1 Timothy, turn over there, chapter 4. We're talking about leaving a legacy. What will your legacy be? Paul said, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Value added. Living. What retirement are you working toward? And then 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 again. Well, we're back up to verse 7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Think about what Paul said. Paul said, because I've run my race, because I have lived life with a proper view, because I've been willing to take up my cross, because I've been willing to invest in others and not just myself. He said, I can say this with confidence. There is laid up for me. There is laid up for me. Let me ask you something. Are you laying anything up there as well as down here? What kind of legacy will you leave? What kind of legacy will you leave? If the Lord tarries, will there be an investment? Will there be a residue of your life that's left in your family and in your friends and those around you? Or will it just be, well, oh yeah, I remember him. He used to, where was he at now? My pastor used to say this a lot, and it's a good thing to keep in mind. He said, I want my life to be more than just a dash between two dates on a headstone. You know, you go in the, you know, born, you know, 1797, dash, died, 1847. And that dash is you. It is, isn't it? The dash is you. But I want to tell you what, that's not my legacy. My legacy is not the dash on a tombstone. It is a life well lived. A life pleasing God. A life where I took up my cross. A life where I was not so self-absorbed that I didn't have the time to invest in others. I want us to think on that just for a second. You know, in eternity, we're going to have the opportunity, I believe, to look back on our life. And looking back on our life, we're going to wonder, okay, wow, look at the opportunities I had. I'm going to read you something here in closing. I wasn't going to read this, but I'm going to take, how many give me about, it'll take me about 2-3 minutes to read this, and then we'll pray. Listen to this. We're talking about leaving a legacy, a godly life. This is some research that was done on two lives of two men, and I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. Max Jukes and Jonathan Edwards. And I'm just going to read this. Max Jukes was a vocal atheist who lived a godless life. He married an ungodly woman. And among the descendants of this union, 310 died as paupers. 150 were criminals, 7 were murderers, 100 were alcoholics, and more than half of the women were prostitutes. And his 540 known descendants cost the state $1.25 million. During the same time, now this was in the 1700s to the 1800s, so that's a lot of money. During the same time, Max Jukes lived, the atheist, the ungodly. During this same time that Max Jukes lived, there lived a godly man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Everybody heard of Jonathan Edwards? He married a godly woman, and investigating 1,394 known descendants of Jonathan Edwards, listen to this, 13 became college presidents, 65 were college professors, 3 were U.S. senators, 30 were judges, 100 were lawyers, 60 were physicians, 75 were military officers, 100 were ministers and missionaries, 60 were authors, 1 was vice president of the United States, 80 were public officials, 295 were college graduates, among whom were governors of states and ambassadors of foreign countries, and his descendants did not cost the state one penny. Now that's just the natural side. Who knows in eternity what he laid up? We're talking about leaving a legacy. What is the legacy that you're leaving? You know, we need to pause and reflect from time to time. So, oh, this is kind of heavy. No, it's not heavy. It's important. Yeah. It's important. I think about things like this all the time. You know, what am I giving my life for? What am I living my life for? What am I investing in? What is important to me? Got to live our life with the right view. And your life view is not of a graveyard. It's not of all the racket of everyday living. It is this. God said, seek me first. Bring your life into proper order out of that. Seeking Him first. You know, if we don't get the cornerstone right, the rest of the building is going to be out of plumb, isn't it? That's our problem many times. So today I want to pray for you. And I want you, as I pray for you, I want you to be thinking about, how am I living my life? Am I leaving a legacy in my family with those around me, closest to me? What kind of legacy am I leaving? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Father, right now, as we examine our hearts before you, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would show us, oh God, what kind of legacy are we leaving? What are we living? What is our view? Lord, I pray that those that need encouragement, you would encourage them, Lord, that need to lift up their eyes and stop just looking and being consumed with their own life and their own problems, but they would look up, oh God, that they would look up and see you. They would look up and see the possibilities of a life well lived, of a life that gives, of a life that serves, of a life that pursues you, oh God. Father, I pray that everyone who is living that life, Lord, encourage them even more. Encourage them, oh God, and help them see that they cannot measure their life by the things around them, by the things accumulated, by all of the stuff. But rather, oh God, we measure our life by your plumb line. Your plumb line. Not what the world says. Not what Hollywood says. Not what Washington says. But God, what you say, that is what matters. That is what is eternal. And that is what we will use to direct and guide our steps. Thank you, Lord. Encourage everyone that we may leave a godly legacy, that we may live a value-added life before you. While your heads are still bowed, I want to, before I leave, if there's anyone here, just perhaps someone here, that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe God's dealing with your heart, maybe God's dealing with you, and you say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Because here's the thing, every one of us without God at the center live selfish lives. That's what we live. That's who we are without Him. We need His love. We need His presence. We need His life coming in and changing us and making us over. And so anyone that is listening to the sound of my voice, if you need to receive Jesus, if you need God to come in your life right now, just open your heart to Him and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. God, I need your forgiveness. I need the brand new life that you can give me. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. They will be forgiven. They will be given a brand new life. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that hearts that need to will open to you and receive Jesus now. Receive Jesus now. Call on the name of the Lord and He will be found by you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Living and leaving a legacy. I want to, don't you? You want to leave a legacy? You know, the truth of the matter is, as I mentioned before, you can stand up on your feet because I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. The truth is, we all are leaving one. We are all leaving one, a legacy. The imprint of our life upon others, our legacy, our investment. Hallelujah. Be encouraged in it. Amen. Live your life with a brand new view. Hallelujah. You know, you listen, You've got a life with a view. You open that thing up, man, the vistas. Beautiful vistas there. Mountains in the distance. A watered plain. Oh, it's beautiful. Everything's green. Fruit bearing. Oh, that's the view God has for you. Amen. It's the view. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the encouragement, oh God, of living a life of legacy, a value-added life. And Lord, today, as we go and continue to celebrate Mother's Day, Father, may we, every mother in here, may they rejoice and take great comfort in the fact, Lord, that even though as a mom they've labored, and maybe, Lord, no accolades were coming, but yet, Lord, they're leaving a legacy. They are leaving a legacy in their families, in those around them. They are leaving a godly legacy, a value-added life. You see it. You know it. You value it. Encourage them today and bless them today on their special day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Any moms here, if you didn't get your rose when you came in on the way out, we have some roses there just to honor you today. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. God bless you. Congratulate Scotty and Nora.